Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Hello, and welcome to show number 600.
Oh, yeah.
The 600 Club.
If you got through the slog of the last show, just kidding.
The beginning of the last show was tough.
Yeah.
The beginning of the last show was tough, I'm not going to lie.
But now you're here!
And now you're here.
Oh, yeah!
It's a celebration. I did not... You know, we had a huge... I did a huge grouping of shows for the 300th episode.
Yeah.
Where I had each group of co-hosts come in and sit in and do different shows. So 300 A, B, and C, for looking to go back. They're all on NateDarlingShow.com, by the way. You can go back and listen anytime.
Listen to any of them.
If you've got 500 and some odd hours of free time, they're all there.
Download them and listen to them from the beginning.
I believe also all of the episodes of the Well Hong podcast are there, too. I'm not positive, because I don't think I took those down. Let me find out really quickly as I'm doing. This is the professional episode that you've come to expect from me as I look something up as we go along here. There we go.
People need to know how the salami is made. You know what I mean?
You know what? Or your money back. It's a free show. It's always going to be a free show. If you want to help us out by hitting the shop Amazon tab at the top of NateDarlingShow.com.
And just so you guys know, I mean, Nate has these supplements that he could be selling to everybody that listens to the show.
It's true.
And he does not sell these supplements. So, so just FYI, you could be selling everybody supplements that don't work.
It's true. Yes, all 63 episodes of the Well Hong podcast are on NateDarlingShow.com.
Well, that's hungerific.
Just me and Diana Hong shooting the shit.
Shooting the shit.
She, by the way, Diana Hong is the Korean little sister I never had. I just realized that today. I'm proud of her now because I see her posting on social media all the stuff she's doing. If you go back and listen to the first few times she was on the show and even the first few episodes of the Well Hong podcast, she's done some personal growth.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to say I am very proud of you, Diana. I mean, I've said that to her privately. So,
me too.
Yeah, it's very impressive where she was to where she is now, and kind of how she's grown as a person. But yeah, 63 episodes of that. So yeah, it's close to 600 hours of content that's available for you to just. Yeah, hey, I've just solved your summertime. What do I do with my summer?
There you go.
600 hours of me.
Boom.
That's what they all have in common. Me. So funny story. I don't know if it's funny or not. By the way, nothing special planned. When I was thinking about starting the show back in 2011, because I'd worked in radio and I enjoyed part of working in radio, which was being on the radio, what I didn't enjoy were the people who were bosses. Because radio bosses are quite often terrible people who they're just not great and a lot, at least from my experience.
Right.
So I wanted to start something where I could do whatever I wanted and just make a show. And this show has evolved based upon me, based upon the co-hosts I've had. We talk about a lot of social issues because Kareem is on the show that we would have never touched on if you weren't here.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have that perspective. When we started the show, it was myself and Larry Mead. And Mel Gelbart came on basically in the second or third episode. Because Larry had to be away. He traveled a lot at that time. And we decided we're going to do a three-person show. And when I was talking about it, because there was like 2 months of me just getting the equipment right. So there wasn't a hum in the audio. Because I didn't want to be the show that was three guys yelling into a laptop. Which is a lot of the shows that you listen to. If you scan around and go, oh yeah, hey, there's a local podcast, and you go, oh, check it out, and it sounds like they're yelling into a laptop. Yeah. We at least try. I mean, yeah, we have our moments, but this sounds, if you listen to this show, this sounds like a professional broadcast for the most part, at least the audio quality of it. Not counting some of the internet stuff we're playing back, but,
the foul language I use.
Right. We had the experiment of not using foul language. That didn't go great. I was sitting around and someone said, what are you going to call the show? And I said, I don't know. And they're like, oh, well, it's you and Larry. You should come up with some clever name for it that combines your names or something like that. And I just went, I don't think that's a great idea. And not because I didn't, I mean, I love Larry. Larry's fantastic. But I just had a feeling, having been divorced twice, that Larry would eventually leave me. And of course he did. As did Mel after about 70 shows, which is still well over a year's worth of shows. We were doing once a week. So we had Mel and Larry just catching everybody up who, might not have, been privy to the early stuff. Cause I mean, fuck, it was 7 years ago now. Mm-hmm. 2011.
Wow.
2011 was a while ago.
Yes, it was.
So they were with me for a year and a few months. And then Christiana came on and Ted came on. And, so that was a very different thing. Larry is an openly gay man who, at the time was single and, is now married, and they've got a son they've adopted. Mel was single and living alone, former police officer, Jewish lady. She no longer lives alone. Their lives changed. They evolved. They moved on. Christiana came on. She was a mom. That was something we didn't have before. Ted also kept the Jewish going. Ted was a very different thing. He was a Jewish guy who grew up in the Bay Area. So that was a different perspective that we didn't have. And then, his girlfriend Becca joined the show for quite some time, and she had a very different sort of perspective about things. She's traveling through Asia right now.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Should be back soon, but, maybe we'll get her in to sort of talk about Asia, kind of see how that goes. So they were on for quite a while too, but then again, life changes. Stuff happens. Diana Hong came in, did some shows. Kareem substituted in here and there. We brought Sam Platts in for a little while. Kareem came on full time as people left. I forget exactly when, who the lever was that brought Kareem on full time. And then, Jason joined the show, although you were on early too.
Yeah. I was back in 2011. Probably.
Yeah. I think so. So you guys have sort of been with the show from pretty early on. I mean, I was doing stand up when Kareem came up to me and said, you need some more color on your show. And I said, okay, do you want to come on? He's like, yeah, I'm open. So yeah, the show has evolved. It's grown. We talk about shit. Last show we talked about suicide. Because it's in the news. This show is based upon current events and pop culture and crazy shit that's going on and what we think of it and why it's insane or why it's great. And we've got our motto, don't be an asshole. But it's just been a hell of a ride. To think about 600 fucking shows. That's a lot. That's more than they did of Gunsmoke, I think.
Damn.
Gunsmoke was on a long time. I
don't
know.
Careful talking about the smoke, man.
Right? It's still not more episodes than The Simpsons. they've been on a long time. Just before I go on anymore, I want to mention the website that I mentioned last show again. It's suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Check that out if you just think you might be in a weird place. Just check it out.
Just check it.
Make it close to you, if you will. All right. So Jason already has a nickname within our little group. It's White Guilt. That's his name in our group chat as we're talking about what's going to go on for the show. I came up with a new nickname for Kareem this past week. It was based on a Facebook conversation. And Kareem's new nickname is Dark Money. And by the way, you're welcome, because Kareem Dark Money Daniels sounds fucking amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, Jason, you want to talk a little bit about how that whole thing evolved? Because I was responding to somebody who was responding to you making a comment on Christiana's Facebook page.
So we have two Democrats, like, that won, like, the primary to run off for our Senate seat.
Right. In
California.
So in California, we have what they call, which is really weird. I was almost offended for Kareem, a jungle primary. I'm like, what are you talking about, a jungle primary? Basically what it means is the top two vote getters in the primary face off in the general election. Whether they're Republican and Democrat, Democrat and Democrat, Republican and Republican, it doesn't matter. Top two vote getters move on to the general.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah. They move on to the general election to face off, and everybody else has to go away. Yeah. Not really, but right. Yeah. So that's the story that you're commenting on.
Right. So, I'd heard, this bit of information about Dianne Feinstein and the Confederate flag, and it being flown over City Hall in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and how it had been taken down, multiple times. It was taken down in the 60s. Wasn't put back up, but then under Feinstein, it was put back up. And when it was put back up, it was taken down four times. Second time, by the same guy each time, mm-hmm. guy was arrested. And she kept putting it back up every time, or the exhibit kept, and who knows if it was actually her or not. But she was the mayor, and she could have stopped things if she wanted
right.
to.
Right. She's the mayor. She could have gone, you know what, let's not put the Confederate flag up today.
Let's not put it up today.
Over City Hall in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that for a moment, yeah. How fucked that sounds.
And I don't care if it was part of an exhibit that was celebrating the signature of the Appomattox courthouse. Like, in the, whatever, that doesn't matter. Like, it was offensive to people, and they wanted it down. They should have taken it down, especially with what it represents, all right? So she kept putting it up. And also, at the same time, like, she was trying to vie for a ticket on the Democrats' ticket with Walter Mondale at the same time. So I was just doing research on this information. I found out this information. And this is something that I've learned in the last couple of months. And I just made I'm not just going to blindly follow Dianne Feinstein because she's the one that's been in there for the last 20 years. Like, she's been in the Senate for a long time.
She is turning 85 this month.
She got into the Senate when I was in high school. Like, so it's been a long time. That being said, like I just said, I was questioning my support of her, my continued support of her,
mm-hmm.
and because of some new information I found out. That's all I said. I was just saying, I'm thinking about supporting another Democratic nominee for this position because of this. All right, and then I get asked like, what are you talking about? And then I post an article that directly links and cites what it's about. It's from a black newspaper in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Correct.
Like, and they published the article, and like I published it, and like Christiana's like troubling, like okay, troubling, but still, you know, she's changed, she's evolved, you know, like well, okay, and whatever. I mean, I'm not going to say anything else. I said what I wanted to, and I supported
sure.
it. And then somebody said I was thinly veiled or thinly sourced, and I was like, okay, well, here's another article. Here's another article from the Harvard Crimson. You can
sure.
talk about, you can say whatever you want, but this is in
that right wing beacon, the Harvard Crimson,
where they talked about this. All right, so I'm just trying to show you that this is something that happened, and it made me pause to think about my blind support for a Democrat.
Sure,
that's all I was saying.
It was fair.
And then some fucking douchebag from South Carolina or Oklahoma or someplace, like from Alabama, somewhere, not from California, has no, like, who's just a friend of Christiana's, I guess, I don't know, like, makes a comment about, like, how I'm what's wrong with Facebook, that I'm poor,
yep.
I'm posting thinly sourced things, that it's the dark money on the web, and that I need to be more careful about what I'm posting when it's thinly sourced media or something like that.
Yeah, your viewpoint has been influenced by dark money.
And like compared De Leon to Trump, like me supporting, possibly supporting Kevin, who is way more liberal than Feinstein.
Yeah.
Way more liberal than Feinstein.
That's right in your wheelhouse.
Like, way more. So, for like, I was just done with the conversation. I didn't make any comment after. I made the comment, dude, you don't know who I am, and you do not know what my politics are. And that's all I said to him. And
you
then,
don't know his nickname is White Guilt.
You do not know who the fuck I am. You should not be talking to me like this. Like, you've no idea who I am or what my supports are. Like I have a Black Lives Matter thing in front of my house. Like, I'm not...
Well, that's because you've gentrified the neighborhood.
Yeah. I have to support something. No. But seriously, though, it was just so fucking ridiculous and ludicrous, and I wasn't even going to respond to it. And then my wife said something along the lines of, like...
She defended you, yeah.
She just said something along the lines of comparing Trump... comparing support for De Leon or KDL versus and Feinstein to Trump winning the White House. Anyhow, then the guy made a comment like, you obviously didn't read. And at that point, my wife just looked at me because she was sitting across from me on the couch. And she's like, this is why I don't say anything to people on the internet because they're fucking idiots.
what was his comment? You said it was what? Ludicrous?
It was ludicrous.
Okay. So, now most people would look at that and go, oh my God, talk about the mischaracterization of whatever and Jason's argument. And I went, that'd be a great nickname for Kareem. I'm just making the point. I'm not quite right.
Yeah.
because that's really not what you really should be focusing on in this whole situation. But that's what stood out to me. The improv has never left me, by the way.
No, that was great. It was great time. It was perfect.
I have not done improv in quite some time. It's never left.
Kareem liked it. And I think said, yep, dark money. and then Christiana LOL'd it.
Yeah.
So we all had a good laugh.
Win, win, win. That's how you handle...
Fucking idiots on... I mean, listen, the guy might be a nice guy, but dude, come on. You need to... Like, that's just like the thing. It's like this polarization. Like, anybody says one thing that goes against what you might have as an idea, and you immediately turn on the fucking guns. Like, you're fucking down to kill.
Finger guns. I will share something with you that happened sort of just before the show. And let me find the comments on it here. All right. So, one of my old bosses posted this. The headline is Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey forced to apologize for eating Chick-fil-A during Pride Month. His comment was, is this what we've become? Yes, this is what we've become. And then people start commenting all about it, incensed or whatever. I go, and I replied to somebody else who said, the headline is misleading. No one forced him to apologize. He ate there. People remarked on it, and he voluntarily said, oh yeah, I forgot their record. Sorry about that. So I said, hey, this is where we are. People react to clickbait headline, ignore articles, screw you nuance and context. I want to be angry.
Yeah.
Which then responded, got a lot of responses back.
Can you read some of your favorites?
Well, there was a not quite. And he said, I should have had the same reaction to the other headlines, shamed for eating a freaking chicken sandwich. Come on. And then somebody replied to him, not shame for eating it, shame for promoting it on Twitter during Pride Month. He posted a photo on Twitter with the caption, boost at Chick-fil-A, showing he had saved 10% on a $31.58 order at the fast food chain. Somebody else said, in the long list of stupid stuff that triggers people, if this isn't the winner, it's a contender. You're reacting to the headline! And then the original person who posted it said, so next month it's okay? You know, this musical selection was far more appropriate than I thought. But that's what happens on Facebook. People read half of it. People read the headline, which is designed to make you go, fuck you, and then read it. But no, they don't read it. They just say, fuck you, and then they comment on it. Show 600, by the way, everybody. Hope you're enjoying it.
Roll out.
So I'm gonna ask all you guys, what is your favorite memory of being on the podcast? And you can pick a couple of them. We'll just try and have a little moment here, and then we'll move through the rest of the show.
I have two.
Mine is when me and you got into an argument and it scared somebody.
Scared Jason. We've had some, yeah.
I think I was able to come in between and like join your thoughts and like save the friendship.
What? The thing is, the friendship was never in jeopardy.
I was being facetious.
Because men can yell at each other.
Exactly. Well, dude, if you came to North Carolina with me, white people would be scared. They would think we were going to fight. And that's just us talking. Me and my family just talking to each other.
Here's how I know it didn't go too far. Kareem didn't get up and leave.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I know if it would have gone too far, he would have said, fuck you, and got up and left.
Yeah.
I ain't dealing with your shit. So that was what was one of your favorite memories, Jason?
So I have two, but I'll just share one now, and then we'll come back to them, I guess. The first one was... where I was surprised for my birthday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think Mel was on the show. You were here. Was it Mel?
Yeah, it was very early on.
It was me, you, Mel.
I asked you to sit in, and then I realized it was your birthday, and I felt like the biggest asshole in the world. And so I reached out to some people. I'm like, oh, my God. I asked Jason to sit in on the podcast before I realized it was his birthday. Do we want to do, like, a surprise party?
And that was like, not even a year from when I'd broken my leg.
Right.
So that was like, cause January would have been 1 year.
Right.
So I was still limping around.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I felt terrible. Like you rode your bike there or some shit.
Yeah, if I was riding my bike, then I was definitely a little bit better.
You were a little better, but you were riding your bike cause you didn't have a car.
Yeah, I know. I was.
I mean, and it was beautiful because in the old podcast studios, which was my living room, the front door opened right into the living room, and it was myself and I think Mel was there. We were sitting on the couch facing the door. Yeah. You had your back to the door.
Yep.
So people could come, and I could see them in the window when they were ready to come in. And basically when they went to come in, I just did a hand signal. They came walking in and surprised you.
Yeah. That was very special to me.
Aw.
So.
That's nice. I have so many, because I have 600. it's a lot harder to choose. I think anytime someone who was a host of the show comes back and sits in, it's really super special. Because they've moved on from that, and to go, you know what, you're worth my time to come back out, because this isn't, and I appreciate everybody who does it, this is time that you take out of your personal time to come here, and we don't make any money off this show. The Amazon proceeds basically pay for the website and keeping everything running and buying equipment and stuff like that. I mean, this past week I spent a good $15 making a makeshift table so we could have proper mic stand action
and
going on
so
here.
It's so fucking sweet.
It's working out very well.
It's fucking sweet.
But, so everything that we're getting from Amazon gets plowed back into the show. So you guys don't get anything. I don't make anything off of this, which is fine. This is a creative outlet. Sort of like rolling out and doing open mics, except instead of 3 minutes and waiting around, I can talk for 2 hours.
Exactly.
And reach a much bigger group of people. And so, yeah, anytime somebody is willing to come back and sit in and give of themselves, it really means a lot. And everybody who's been on this show is incredibly special to me, because the conversations that we have and that we've had, and if you go back and listen to them, even the most mundane ones, it's about building relationships. And my relationships with everybody that I've done the show with have gotten stronger over it. You know, from people I had a fairly good and deep relationship beforehand, to people like Diana Hong, who came from literally out of nowhere. I posted something on the Sac Area Comics Together Facebook page, said, hey, anybody want to sit in on the show? And I'd never met her. And she said, yeah, I'd love to do that. Showed up, came on the show, I love Diana Hong. I think she's amazing. And I would not know her if not for this show. So for me, it's the relationships with everybody. Mm. And all of, and anybody who's reached out and said, oh my God, the show made me laugh. That's really, or, oh my God, I've been saying the exact same thing you're yelling about.
Yeah.
There is another voice in the wilderness, and it's us. So thank you. And I posted on Facebook, thank yous to all of my co-hosts. So thank you guys very much. Thank you to everybody who listens, supports the show, downloads it, buys stuff on Amazon. It really does mean a lot, because it's why we're here. I mean, there's the creative outlet and the energy, but to know that people take it and it does something to make their life a little bit better is just really nice.
Can I just say my other favorite
sure.
moment? My other favorite moment is the moment where I think you had like the epiphany that white privilege existed when you found out Stitches got arrested and got let go after he had it was parked in a handicapped spot
with a gun
that wasn't registered.
And he just had to go ahead and pick up some trash or something like that.
Yeah, I just remember like seeing that moment, like, was probably what, like, because this, everything's about growth and personal growth and everything like that. But just like seeing you have that moment, that epiphany, and being part of it, and seeing it was just like, and that's fucking awesome, man.
And I wanted to say, you talked about everybody else's growth, but I've seen a lot of growth in you, especially like in the last year.
Well, thank you.
Last 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't sell yourself short on that.
Much appreciated. You know what's really funny is when you come to a realization about something, and a lot of that comes from my wife too. But when you come to a realization about things, it really can be a switch. It's like, oh my God. And for a lot of these things, whether it be white privilege or, God, I hate the word the patriarchy, but I'll go ahead and use it. when you talk about stuff like that in terms of, and I've done this, so fucking guilty. When you talk about it in terms of, look, I grew up, I didn't have much money, I had to struggle, nothing was handed to me, and I'm white. That is the same thing as the person who says, hey man, it's really cold here today. What up with the global warming? It's the difference between your personal experience at one point in time and the entire societal or scientific reality that exists. And that's a huge thing, because you're discounting everybody else's experience with stuff. And by the way, say what you want about the Me Too movement. I know it irritates you, Kareem, at times. But the one thing I did when that started happening and I started hearing these stories is I pulled my wife aside. I said, what the fuck? Is this happening all the time to everybody? And she was like, yeah. And she shared some stories with me about a variety of different things. And it horrified me. It pissed me off. I'm like, you mean I could have been acting like this and getting pussy? No, it's not what I said. But seriously, when you start to hear about it and you put it in human to human terms, we just passed the anniversary of I hate to say anniversary because that's like commemorating something. The guy in Texas who is chained behind a truck by three assholes and dragged.
James Byrd.
Dragged to his death. That didn't happen in the 60s. Or the 50s or the 40s. What year was that, Kareem?
I can't remember exactly, but it's 98. Been 98?
Yeah, it's been 98.
It's been since I've been out here, so that's...
Yeah. These things happen. I mean, the idea that somebody who is just walking home or walking somewhere is going to get attacked that way. We are barely a generation away from a bunch of guys beating and tying a gay kid to a fence and leaving him to die.
Yeah.
This is not ancient history. and these attitudes. And why do people get so upset when you talk about Trump and when you talk about the attitudes that are coming that he is permissive with and tacitly endorses by not condemning? These are the type of things that are the difference between life and death for a lot of people. These are the things that we have been showing really slow progress on over the course of a long period of time. And it's so easy to just go, boom, we're back here.
Or it's not affecting me, so I don't care.
Right. Right. And that's the case in a lot of spaces. But by the way, if you live in a small little town, and I mean, if I had never left Barton, Vermont, none of this would affect me. It really wouldn't. Because I would not be encountering, I mean, aside from the women's stuff, it's not like you're going to encounter that many minorities. You're living in your small town, you're living your life, you're struggling to get by, you're doing your thing, you're like, I don't have no privilege. Get out and see the world and listen to other people's experiences. There's no excuse for it at this point.
Oh, and I mean, like, it's crazy that, like, one of my favorite quotes is the one that Mark Twain has about, you know, travel's the enemy of race, like pretty much of racism, like traveling and going places and learning new things.
You mean the man who had a character? And what was his name, Kareem?
Nigga Jim.
There you go. I wasn't saying it.
No, because you can.
Oh, no, I can. It's an uncensored podcast. Yeah. I can. I choose not to.
You choose correctly.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell you choose correctly.
I am the same person. Now, there was one time I was doing an open mic at Luna's, and Art Luna, owner of Luna's, was being involved by several comedians about, is it okay to say whatever, whatever, whatever? And I asked Art if it was okay to say the N-word. And he just turned around.
And then I did an N-word show in the place.
It's true. It's true you did. I believe it was right around the same time you were promoting it. Your point. I'm sorry.
I completely lost it.
All right. Moving on. Must have been really important.
No, it was.
Okay. Maybe we'll come back to it later. We have important things to talk about. The mystery of IHOB has been solved.
Oh, fucking stupid ass fucking shit.
It was all a marketing campaign. IHOP isn't changing its name. Oh, no. And if you haven't heard about this by now, you haven't watched local news. the chain of breakfast diners took social media by storm last week with a cryptic announcement that it was flipping the lowercase p in the logo and making it a B. It, of course, stands for International House of Pancakes, but IHOP, or IHOB, wants to be known as a place to get lunch and dinner, not just breakfast and brunch. It's adding several burgers to its menu, including a big brunch burger with bacon, fried egg, and a brown potato on top. That sounds delightful, by the way.
Okay. Who eats anything but breakfast at IHOP when, no matter when they go to IHOP?
Actually, the last time I went to IHOP, I had a burger. It was really good. Sorry, I don't mean to shit on your point. That's a really valid point. You're having the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity.
Me and my goddaughter went to IHOP like 3 weeks ago at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what we had?
Pancakes.
Breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we would go to IHOP after the club, when I was in the Air Force at 2 o'clock in the morning, we had breakfast. We go to breakfast, we have breakfast. I haven't eaten anything at IHOP besides breakfast. There's a whole purpose of going.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And every time I go, there are people in there.
Well, see, yeah. Because they don't know better.
Well, yeah, I mean, they just have to get rid of all those burgers that they're making for Applebee's now, too. So it's like, because, right, it's the same people that own Applebee's, right?
I don't know the answer to that.
I believe it is. I think it's the same corporation. But I mean, like, because that's like the big thing, like, they're trying to appeal to millennials and try to get millennials back into the places. And like, IHOP's going to be the family place and Applebee's is the place you go to watch the game. But they both have burgers.
By the way, Applebee's tried this thing a few years ago, that late at night they would be open and call themselves Club Bees and you go party there.
No.
You know, that only flies in places where there are no other options.
Like, even like, yeah, in the, in that area on Arden that had like
the, TGI Fridays used to be that place.
Yeah, TGI Fridays was that place. Like, but they would rotate. I mean, there was El Torito's, there was TGI Fridays. Or there's another place right over there too that was like that. Then the office, which is the bar down the road. But anyhow, there's the Applebee's right down Arden, which there's nobody yet that they could have gone to. Nobody did.
Well, there's a brand new Chili's and a brand new Buffalo Wild Wings across the street.
Oh, Chili's is the other place people would go to. Chili's, El Torito's, and TGI Fridays. Those are that's where you would hang out after shift.
If IHOP was smart, they would add some cheese grits to their menu.
Oh yeah,
some grits and some cheese grits to their menu, and promote themselves as the Waffle House alternative.
The Waffle House without the shootings.
Yes, because black people are where they want to boycott Waffle House.
Yeah,
IHOP. You got a whole list of clientele that you could get.
It's true.
Yeah, it should have been IHOW, National House of Waffles.
How? All right, so Lisa Lampanelli, successful stand-up comedian.
Oh, my girl.
Oh, yeah, your girl got into it in San Jose over the weekend. She, as TMZ says, went nuclear on a heckler. Let's take a little bit of a listen to this. So he was sitting in the front row. I don't know what went on beforehand, but he was heckling her that he offered her $100 to shut the fuck up, which always a great move with a comic. By the way, she looks like everybody's angriest grandmother ever now.
Oh, yeah.
So you're like, well, I need to know what happened. I need to know what happened. Well, TMZ needs to know what happened. Let me turn that down. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. TMZ was able to reach out to her. She joked with them that TMZ is the only black guys that call her anymore.
She guess because she lost too much weight.
It's true. She's lost a lot of weight. But here's what she said to them.
Here's what was going on is because I have a real hot button against people who say, I'm having a conversation with, say, a guy on the, or a woman on the other end of the crowd. So basically this guy was totally on the left and I was conversing with somebody on the right. And this guy yelled something to get my attention and totally interrupted the flow with the person I was talking to, which I hate because that person paid too. So I said, wait, let me get back to this guy. And so I ran over there because it really annoys me when people cut me off when I'm trying to have a totally civil conversation. I hit menopause and also I hit 56 years old. And I said, really? I got to put up with some guy yelling at me? And honestly, I noticed too, and this is, I never went with the sexist thing, but I got to tell you, nowadays more and more people are telling women to shut up. So guess who has to be a bigger mouth than ever is Lisa Lampanelli, because nobody ever tried to do nothing to me to shut me up till now, and it ain't going to work. If this does happen again, please someone tape it when I'm acting intelligent, because I honestly do know more words than the F word. I'll throw in the C word if you like. I'm an insult comic. Everybody was having fun. And honestly, if you want me to be 100% serious, when one guy does that, the other people who paid money really don't have the same enjoyment. So I figured I would cut out the cancer. And unfortunately, the cancer kept growing in the form of this large man who nobody kicked out. So it was fine. I like that video, though, because I look really skinny. So everybody, that's what that really counts. I'm a skinny bitch.
So that's what happened. Go on.
So, I don't know if I've told my Lisa Lampanelli story.
I don't know that you have.
So we went to see Lisa Lampanelli because my girlfriend likes her too. Like, we both love her. Haven't seen her in a while, but we've seen her a couple of times in Sacramento. So we go to see her. We're sitting up front. She notices us because we're a black and a white couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so she asked me what my name is. And I said, Kareem. And she's like, how the fuck did you end up with a name like Kareem? She's like, you look like Carlton.
And then you did the dance and said, fuck you, Lisa.
Wait a second.
I'm sorry, I'm stepping on your joke.
You're stepping, you are stepping, you just, you are. So there's another black guy in there who's dressed like a thug, and he had some name like Jonathan.
Right.
And so she makes fun of the fact that he's named Jonathan and I'm Kareem. So fast forward, I go to the bathroom. I sneak out. She doesn't see me. I'm like, okay, I'm good. I can sneak out, sneak back in. We're straight. I look up. Jonathan's walking through the fucking bathroom door. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, dude, now she's going to notice that we're both gone. So she's going to start talking shit.
Yeah, you guys are having a meeting.
Yeah. And this is before I start doing comedy.
Okay.
So
that was a while ago.
Yeah. So this is like me just being the audience member, whatever. So I start walking back in and she notices that we're gone.
Right.
So as I'm walking back in, so of course she starts in on me and she says something about Carlton again. And then I bust into the Carlton dance.
Nice.
Killed the whole crowd. Like everybody was laughing and cheering. It was like the best ever. She gave me a hug and a kiss on the cheek afterwards. I think she tried to slip me some tongue.
Mm.
But,
and then Jonathan walked back in and pulled a Glock.
Yeah. Jonathan walked back in. She didn't even notice him. I think he snuck back in while everybody was laughing at me doing the Carlton dance.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh shit. Yeah. Carlton.
He's like, oh, thank God.
But she insults everybody. Like,
yeah.
There's nobody off limits. I'm totally cool with the way she does things because she makes fun of everybody. And then when you meet her after the show, she's like the sweetest person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So yeah. That's good to see her back on TV again.
Yeah.
She of course was also on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes, that is true. She should have lost all that goddamn weight.
That's right. So they're rebooting Top Gun, or Top Gun Maverick as they're going to call it. And they've got Tom Cruise back. And they've got Val Kilmer back. I don't know how he's going to fit into a plane, but okay.
Hasn't he lost a lot of weight because of the cancer?
Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
You had to bring up the cancer, didn't you?
Sorry, man.
I'm making a Val Kilmer fat joke, and you're talking, you got to bring cancer.
It's sad.
Out. You son
it's
of a bitch.
Sad. Like, I'm sure he could probably thanks, fit like
thanks
five.
For
ad,
of, thanks I mean, for adding that to our comedy show. I'm sure, hey, I have some sad news
well,
for
I'm
you.
I'm just saying you could probably fit five of them in the cockpit now.
Stack him like cordwood. According to the first female Air Force fighter pilot to fly into combat, Representative Martha McSally, she thinks you need to have some ladies in the new Top Gun.
I read that you are the first female combat pilot that our country's had.
Yeah, well, I was blessed to have a lot of women go before me, and I was in the right place at the right time with the right grit and the right qualifications.
So, I don't know if you saw, they're filming Top Gun 2 right now. What are your thoughts? Is this...
So that's a Navy thing. We have inter-service rivalries, right? So we used to joke about, you know, we got Iron Eagle in the Air Force, so that was awful. But, like, you know, so it's an inter-service joke, right? So Top Gun was for the Navy. It really boosted their recruitment.
Obviously, this movie was made, yeah. I think, in 86.
Yeah.
And you started in 91. They're going to have women pilots, right?
They better. Look, we've got a lot of women that are flying in all sorts of airplanes right now and all the services. And I go into classrooms all the time with kids and I bring my flying gear and sometimes the boys get all excited. They hear a fighter pilot's coming and then they realize a girl shows up and you can see the wheels turning and then the girls go like, wow, you know, I could do this. So I think it's so important. You see how Top Gun really helped with Navy recruitment and inspiring people to come serve. So they better have women because it's great as a message to young girls so that they can see I can be a fighter pilot too.
You know how you have certain age requirements. This guy seemed a little bit too old to be.
Yeah,
he's still fighting.
I don't know how they're going
to
make that work.
Who do you think we're fighting this time? Probably Russia? What do you think?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't want to make any speculations. But, it'll be interesting. They're not going to be pulling a lot of G's usually because that's a pretty, you know, being a fighter pilot, one of my friends once described it as like doing long division in the middle of a wrestling match. You know, it's very mentally and physically trying. You know, it's more of a young man and young women's, fight for sure. So it'll be really interesting. Obviously, it's a movie, so they'll doctor it up if they need to.
They're not actually flying the plane. Tom Cruise is not getting any G's.
No.
Maybe Kenny G.
No, he'll be...
No other G's.
Is he going to be an instructor now?
Dude, who fucking knows?
But I am like, we did... Hollywood, there are 50,000 people in your town that are trying to get a script sold. Use one of those motherfuckers and stop doing all this retread bullshit.
It's so bad. No one was clamoring for this.
No. I know at least 10 people that are trying to sell scripts right now. We did not need another Top Gun.
Do they have a somewhat homoerotic volleyball scene in them?
No.
Oh, well, ooh, then there's your problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem indeed.
Jesus. They're rebooting Magnum P.I.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
Lethal Weapon's going into its third season on Fox.
And Magnum P.I. looks like it might be cool, but again.
Well, I mean, they tried to do Vegas a couple of years ago. I mean, they're always trying to.
Oh, yeah.
They're always trying to do stupid shit.
But again, nobody was asking you to.
There's a reboot of Halloween coming out.
You could have made something new, mm-hmm. something different.
Yeah.
Ironically, they lack imagination.
You could have made a car chase. You could have made a private eye show with the cars and shit without it being called Magnum P.I.
Or Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
To bring up an
you could do it.
Jason, are you excited about the new Top Gun? I know how no. Kareem feels.
No. I mean, no. Because, like Kareem said, it's why? Why? What is the reason for this? Like, leave it in the 80s when... It was relevant, I guess. I don't know, man. Like,
next thing you know, they'll be making a Mike Hammer.
Well, Stacey Keach is still out there acting, so that's entirely
possible.
I heard
they're going to do Max Headroom.
Speaking of which, there's another Equalizer movie coming out with Denzel.
I knew that was going to happen.
TV show from the 80s with an old white guy. Suddenly the old white guy is Denzel?
Yes.
Is that necessary?
It was not necessary.
I mean, I'm all for giving African American actors a chance. But why does it always have to be Denzel?
Because it's Denzel.
I don't even know. And Hollywood has an issue with it. Well, it's the fact that they will only get so Antoine Fuqua, who directed it, should be able to get any fucking movie that he wants green lit.
Right.
Like, he's done movies that are not black movies.
Right.
Like, you don't know that they're black. You don't even know that he's a director.
He's just a good director.
He's just a good director. So he should be able to get anything that he wants green lit. But for some reason, Hollywood has not figured out that you can't, they won't give a black movie a budget unless you can put Denzel or Will Smith in it.
Well, like Will Smith's fallen off of that bandwagon.
Yeah. And even like, so the movies, the Kiss the Girl movies,
mm-hmm.
they made Morgan Freeman Alex Cross, and then they went to Tyler Perry. Like, neither one of them should have ever been Alex Cross, because if you read the books, Alex Cross was like a middle-aged man, but he was like an ex-football player.
Right.
So it was like, how the fuck did you end up with one with Morgan Freeman? Like that's a movie Denzel should have been the lead black character in,
mm-hmm.
that they didn't make him that guy. And then you went to fucking Tyler Perry.
All I can say is this: thank God The Rock is here to cover all of our biracial potential needs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just read a thing, which I'm a little excited about. Eddie Murphy is going to be making a movie on Rudy Ray Moore's life.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, it's called My Name is Dolomite.
Yes.
And Netflix is producing it. So at least they're thinking originally.
Yeah.
And telling stories. Because, I mean, like...
And Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. And Netflix. I mean, because yeah. that's... I mean, I can't wait for that, though.
Oh, yeah. And they're doing a remake of Superfly.
Yeah, I saw that.
Who the fuck needed a remake of Superfly?
Superfly was Superfly.
They remade Shaft. I didn't need that.
No, didn't need that.
We've got Shaft in Africa. Make that easier to find.
Right.
Shaft's big score. I've seen all of them.
Yes. We did not need a new Superfly. Superfly was done.
No, we could have done with a Black Dynamite too.
We could have did a... Yes. But that's new.
That's new.
That's new.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, like, it takes all that old stuff and kind of is like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm familiar with Superfly and I'm familiar with...
What if So I know they've started this new trend of taking established franchises and recasting the main character with an African-American actor.
Yeah.
What if, and I'm just spitballing here, what if we remade all the blaxploitation movies of the 70s, but with white actors?
I already did.
I'm thinking Ryan Reynolds is Shaft.
Hey, I love Ryan Reynolds. Watch it.
I do too.
We should make Jason Statham as Shaft.
Jason Statham, yeah. You'd be a good Shaft.
You'd be a good Shaft.
Yeah, totally do that.
Hey, look! If you actually, if you made Jason Statham Shaft, the black people would go see it.
Yeah, we don't need Idris Elba. You're gonna make Idris Elba the new James Bond. All right.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
But then we need to redo a blaxploitation movie with somebody white. That's all I'm saying.
So make Jason Statham Shaft,
sure,
and black people to go see it.
There you go. Done and done.
Done and done.
Shaft in Africa. We're remaking Shaft in Africa, but Shaft is Jason Statham. Yes. It's a shot-for-shot remake.
I thought they were going to do like Shaft in Ireland.
Shaft
in Scotland.
Shaft's big score. So there was a Guinness World Record set on the Irish coast. It was the world's largest skinny dip.
Ooh.
Several thousand women descended on an Irish beach wearing smiles, body paint, and not much else. The group set a Guinness record for the world's largest skinny dip with 2,505 women in all, according to a Guinness representative who was on site, breaking the previous record of only 786, which was set in Australia in 2015. It was a fundraising drive for the group Kicking the Shite Out of Cancer.
So it's not like Guinness wasn't too far from there. It's the same Guinness.
It is, I know. the event organizer, who is a cancer survivor, said, for those who have cancer, they're taking ownership of their bodies again. A lot of women said the experience really changed their lives. Participants in the event, which is an annual one, have raised money for something I can't pronounce as Pink Tie, which is a charity that supports children with cancer. Over the first 5 years, they raised about $180,000. So,
good for them.
It's for a very good cause. And now they've got the Guinness Book of World Records. That'll be great when it comes. Does that still come out in schools? I remember when I was a kid getting that and being like, yeah, this is great. Is it even necessary now with the internet?
I don't know. I've seen one for like in the 2000s, but I don't remember one for any recently, but I'm sure they still make it.
I would think so.
They still make it, for sure.
But, yeah, good for them.
It was one of those things I used to check out from the library every year and look through.
Yeah, I would get it from, like, Bookmobile, something like that, because they had the cheap paperback version of it. Just saying. All right, we've got some important news from Canada. And our friends at NPR have the story for us.
Steve Inskeep, think of this like the Occupy movement, or maybe the rise of populism, except for birds. Wild peacocks in Surrey, British Columbia have been attacking luxury cars. Their beaks can really scratch them. The cars are shiny, you see, so it appears the birds are attacking their own reflections. This is a lesson for us all. If you're an extravagantly feathered alpha bird looking for a fight, try not to get too captivated by yourself. It's Morning Edition.
Okay, Morning Edition. Let me just explain to you why you need to really rethink your comparisons. You just compared the Occupy movement and the rise of populism to birds attacking their own reflection. That's not a compliment.
No. Are they trying to say that the people from Occupy were attacking their own?
Let me just make something painfully clear to you assholes at NPR. First of all, if you listen to NPR, don't tell me about it. I'm not going to think you're smarter because of it. And second of all, NPR, you're not clever. Stop trying to be. Stop it. You're not clever. Not. Jason?
Well, if I end it like this, you might not ever know.
There, but honestly, that story, it's a story they could present without all of their attempts to be clever. And it would have been a fantastic story. I would not be making fun of it. I'd be like, holy shit, these birds are attacking cars in British Columbia? What the fuck? But no, now I'm focused on this asshole and comparing birds to the Occupy movement. By the way, that's some really, really topical shit. That's some really topical shit, Steve Inskeep.
Yeah. There's certain things that, like, you have to be cognizant, like, as a comedian, like, when you're doing improv, at least, like, you have to be cognizant of, like, how might this move or this joke or this thing might be, how might this be perceived by somebody? So, if I'm wanting to do a scene where people are protesting, I probably shouldn't say, like, do a protest and be like, no lives matter.
Right.
Because that's not really, it's probably not what the funny thing was that was being discussed, and B, that's kind of just a shit thing to say, dude. Like, it's like, you're not going to make anybody appreciate it or laugh, you're just going to anger somebody, like, it's just...
And C, you're at an improv show, it's only going to be filled with white people with a bunch of guilt. So, let's remember that.
Things have changed.
Oh, they have?
A little bit.
It's not full of guilty liberals?
No, guilty liberals maybe, but there's diversity is growing.
Let them out. all right. Remember Dean Cain?
Who?
He was Superman.
Superman, yeah.
Superman, Dean Cain. For some reason, TMZ wanted to talk to him in an airport. I don't know why. Dean Cain also played college football.
Oh, yeah.
Lest we forget. speaking of things we didn't need to have rebooted, Dean Cain's Superman would be a big leading contender on that.
That was Lois and Clark.
Yeah, whatever.
It was a sitcom about Superman where he's never Superman.
It wasn't a sitcom.
It was an hour. Like, he was never Superman in that show.
Okay.
Was he?
Who cares? I just kept waiting to see Terry Hatcher's boobs. That's the only thing that was important.
That was the best thing.
I never see boobs. It was a Beavis and Butthead situation for me. So anyway, TMZ Sports wanted to talk to Dean Cain.
The president reaching out to NFL players and saying, asking for suggestions on who to pardon, stuff
yeah,
like
it's
that.
It's a great idea. I spoke about that today on the news.
Yeah?
I did.
Do you think the NFL could come back with a giant stack of files for him to look at?
Sure, they should. If they got them, for sure. Absolutely. The one thing they should go in there and do is talk, though. The door's open. Go in, have a conversation with the man.
And you think the NFL came to a good compromise as far as being saying you gotta, if you come out, you gotta stand, but if you want to stay in the locker room, you can stay in the locker room?
Well, the policy was, as I understood it, that you had to be out on the field to stand originally, and never enforced that. I have no problem with people protesting. I have a problem with the place and the method with which they protested, because...
Well, then you have a problem with people protesting.
Yeah, fuck you.
If you missed it, Donald Trump has told the NFL players to bring any people you might know. I think we played it last week. Any people you might know, bring me their cases and we'll review them. Come beg me for clemency for your friends.
No, I want you to like me. I really, really, really need you to like me. That's what that is.
I don't know. I think there's a little sprinkling with, you know, he gets off by people coming in and asking him for shit like that.
He gets off
kissing
on,
the ring.
He gets off on thinking that he's doing like somebody a favor. Like,
look, I'm not a bad guy. Look at what I did.
Look what I did for this person.
Kim Kardashian asked me to let this lady out of jail, and I did it. Obama didn't.
No, because the bitch belonged in jail.
There's a viewpoint we haven't heard a lot of.
Yes. No, I've been arguing with people about this all week. The bitch belonged in jail. She worked for the Cali cartel. She wasn't in prison because she was an innocent. She wasn't a low level drug offender. She belonged in fucking prison. That's why they left her in prison. Obama, commuted the sentence of like 1700 people.
Mm-hmm.
Her name never made it to his fucking desk. That is because in the process, they looked at her and was like, oh yeah, this bitch belongs here. Never mind. That's my, like, I'm not, well, you know, I'm not caving for you just because you're black.
Right.
No. And the NFL players shouldn't go meet with him. Fuck him.
Yeah. I mean, for the whole thing behind that, it's just, yeah, come and talk to me and we'll do this. It's like, no.
I say go talk to him and then kneel for them. And then go ahead and go ahead and kneel. He'll go fuck himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you want to respect the office, but he doesn't respect the office. So it makes it really difficult to respect the office when the person holding it. It's like when you go into somebody's house. You know, if you go to somebody's house and they take care of their house and you walk in, you're like, oh, do you need me to take off your shoes? And you're like, oh, no, it's okay. Because you look around and you go, oh, they really take care of it. And some people will just go, I'm taking off my shoes because I respect the house. If you walk into the house and it's not clean and there's shit everywhere and there's dirty dishes piled up and it smells like someone shit in the corner, it's really hard for you to respect the house.
Exactly. Well, and you're not taking your shoes off.
Right. I'm never taking my shoes off there. So, yeah, it was really weird. TMZ just hanging out at the airport, grasping at any straw they can get.
Man, fuck Dean Cain.
Fuck Dean Cain. Fuck Dean Cain hard.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy sex toy news.
Ooh.
I wasn't expecting that, were you?
Get some dildos?
Coming to
Yeah, we do. We of course have some dildos. Let's enjoy a little acapella. You're welcome.
Put it in.
We have the best waterproof vibrators to take in the shower. It's a quick list of seven. There's the WeVibe Tango. Oh, my iPad's going to reboot now. Nice. It's $80 from AdamandEve.com. Maybe you can get it at Amazon, and if you do, you know, click through. It is a little bullet vibe, no bigger than the tube of lipstick, packs some major power, features a narrow tip, which is great for targeting different erogenous zones.
Wow.
Think nipples, clit, you name it. Well, I think I have, that's it.
Butthole.
Plus, this compact waterproof vibrator is easy to stow undetected in your suitcase, making it the perfect thing to pack for your next romantic vacay. We'll get to travel in the next story. Number two, it's the Iroha Plus Kushi. It looks like a decorative seashell, but it's a $140 vibrator.
Damn.
Next is an Eva 2, which looks like the drawing of a woman's reproductive system. That's $135. Then there's the Lilo Smart Wand, $169 at Babeland.com. Then there's another one called Mina Lemon, which is a turquoise lemon-shaped thing.
Is it like shaped like a lemon?
It sure is. It's $110.
Put it in.
$149 will get you the WeVibe Nova from Babeland.com. It's sort of a rabbit-style vibe.
Nice.
And finally, the I Rub My Ducky, which is $23 at Amazon.com. It's the most innocent-looking of the group.
Looks like a ducky.
And the cheapest, yeah.
Does it really?
Mm-hmm. Looks just like a rubber duck. It has a secret button on the back, which makes it buzz to life with three different speeds to choose from. It'll truly make bath time much more fun.
It's a smart idea.
I rub my ducky. Quack, quack.
now, before you stow your little lipstick-sized vibrator, got some news for you. Brits risking arrest or confiscation for bringing sex toys into Thailand or the Maldives or Malaysia. See, now a holiday might be the perfect time to experiment in the bedroom. However, Brits are being warned they could be breaking the law by bringing them to certain countries like Thailand, Malaysia, and the Maldives.
They don't want anybody to compete with prostitutes.
Sex toy maker Carvaca has issued a warning on its website urging customers to check out the laws abroad before packing them in their suitcase. They said, "We know how much people get attached to their sex toys, and so when it comes to heading off on holidays, it can be difficult to think about a week or even a fortnight away from them. However, with a number of countries imposing outright bans on vibrators and dildos, it's important that people are informed before they travel in order to prevent any issues at the point of entry into the country."
I think Alabama's one of those states.
It may very well be. Yeah, the Maldives, tropical islands may be a dream honeymoon destination, but if you want to spice things up, beware. Pornography is banned there, and sex toys come under that bracket. The Daily Star reports that a local man was jailed for 6 months for having sex toys. In Malaysia, if you're headed to Kuala Lumpur, don't pack any dildos. Isn't that where Trump is?
He's in Singapore.
Oh. Anyway.
I wonder if they spank you in Singapore for having one. Or cane you. They do it in public, so.
In Malaysia, any obscene objects whatsoever can be punished with imprisonment for a term which may extend to 3 years, or with fine, or with both. Saudi Arabia, they can be confiscated if you try to bring one in there because they're prohibited. They come under the category of pornographic material, which is banned. Even massagers, which are presented in an immoral way, are banned by customs. The United Arab Emirates. I love the photo. If that's your country, I'm not going. Back in 2010, a woman was questioned by customs after she bought sex toys online. The items were seized, and the woman was ordered to sign papers which said she would not attempt to buy sex toys again, or she'd face legal action. Thailand? They count as obscene objects, which are banned by the Thai authorities and are on the list of prohibited goods. They count as pornographic items. India! Home of the Kama Sutra. Don't try bringing vibrators there. Nope. The Indian Penal Code bans objects which are deemed to be obscene. Massagers are legal, but if something has a phallic shape, it is not allowed. If you want to go to Vietnam, and who doesn't, they're not allowing import of sex toys into the country there. They'll be kept and returned to passengers when they leave. So if you want to bring, if you want your vibrator to spend vacation in the office at the airport in Vietnam, bring it along. Otherwise, nope, don't do that.
I almost want to do it now. Like, people smuggle Bibles into China and stuff like that.
Sure.
I want to smuggle dildos and sex toys. And, you know, help the people out.
I just want to go. I don't want to go anywhere where I can't look at porn and beat off. As an American, call me a spoiled American. I don't want to go anyplace where I can't look at porn and beat off. And I don't think that's unreasonable.
It's not.
Okay. Kareem, you want to argue with me on that?
No.
I think Alabama also falls under that category too. I think actually Tennessee does.
Like, how do you answer that? What are you in for?
Well, let me tell you, fresh meat.
I had 5 cases of dildo. And some pocket pussies.
Oh, well.
In a back sack.
Oh, hell, we're over time here. We're running low on time. We're gonna skip that. We're gonna skip Florida Corner.
Fuck Florida.
We're already over an hour now. It's not that exciting. I'll give you the headlines from Florida Corner. Drunk teen drove car into golf sand trap.
Nothing new.
Nope. This one's a little different. Creep with his phaser set to stun tells police he is James Tiberius Kirk.
Liar.
He is not, in fact. Even though he was spotted at 11:20 a.m. vigorously stroking his penis that was under his shorts.
Yeah. James T. Kirk doesn't have to stroke his own penis.
But again, that would be okay in Malaysia because his penis was no sex toy.
No sex toy.
That's okay.
Yeah, if you would have had a flashlight. It would have had a
not okay.
It would have had a pocket pussy. It would have been over.
Absolutely not okay if that's your situation. All right, let me see if I can call this up. My iPad crashed here a moment ago, which has never happened. That's weird. It's got
fucking
a
Apple.
It's got a crack in it now.
What?
Yeah, there's a little hairline bullshit crack. The cat knocked it off.
Man, fucking cats.
All right, I'll pause that. So. Don't need that shit. So before we get into the wrap up, the 600th show.
600.
I think it went fine.
Yeah.
We had some moments.
Yes.
Without anything special being planned. We all said nice things about other people and sort of a lot of people to fuck off. I mean, that's pretty much the show in a nutshell.
This is me in a nutshell. Help. I'm in a nutshell.
I'm in a nutshell. You're crazy. All right. Let me skip ahead here. I have our small town news. It's amazing. But there's a bunch of pad at the beginning of it, so I had to get into it a little bit. All right, let me hit the music.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right, we're going to Skowhegan, Maine, and I think I'm pronouncing that right, but if I'm not, fuck you, I don't care. It's a town that sits as the gateway to some of the state's most moosiest spots.
Ooh, the moosiest.
The moosiest. And that's why more than 1,600 people gathered there at the fairgrounds for what's become one of Maine's can't-miss spring events.
Do I have our spotters are all set? Spotters, check, check. Check, Rick Timmons, excellent, awesome. Is he over there? Perfect.
By the way, okay. We're more than a minute into this video.
Let's do it!
Before we finally get to it, because they don't edit in Maine.
I was born ready, Mary.
I was born ready, Mary. Here we go, by the Jesus.
Did I just say Bloody Mary? What time is it? 5 o'clock somewhere, isn't it? My wife almost didn't let me come. She heard there was a beer tent here. I've never been to it. I don't get out much. We go to Farmington Fair in Farmington. Still a dry town over there. No beer tent over there.
By the way, I think this vindicates all of my impressions of the Maine accent. We went over there to Farmington. It's a dry town over there. My wife said, by the Jesus, what are we going to do over there?
I'm not going to Farmington Fair again. I'm coming to Skowhegan Fair to get a beer tent over there. It's all good. Well, you get nervous, this is it, folks. Now, remember, we got to keep going, and there's going to...
Now, remember, we got to keep going. By the way, if you... This is amazing. I'm sorry. I love the buildup for this.
Yeah. Be a foghorn blow when we've done it. So we're going to do this. And take a breath when you need to, because I know it'll be jiggy and we just keep the volume going. Telling you, it's 35, 40...
I believe Will Smith just threw up in his mouth a little. We're going to keep it a little jiggy. Hi, Will Smith. I love the thought that Will Smith listens to the podcast.
What's up, Will?
Wiggity wah wah, wiggity wah wah west.
Seconds is quite a while. Should we, if we stood up, would we have more gusto or not? I don't care. But if you want to stand up, you don't sit down. We're going to do this.
If you want to stand up, I want to stand up. But if you don't, it's okay. Sit down.
Just get on with it.
One little sample. And go. Okay. I'm going to give one little sample. We're going to give 1, 2, 3. You're going to get the horn and 35 seconds of pure love. Okay, here's a sample. We're going to do 3, 2, 1. Ready? Sample. Breath. That's what we're going to do, right?
Okay.
What the hell?
Any guesses as to what that is?
A moose call?
It is a fact.
Is it a moose call?
Yes, it is. This is part of the moose permit lottery that they have. There's a lottery to determine who gets a license to hunt moose.
They're going to make some moose soup.
They're going to make some moose soup. I don't have access to that right now. But yes, this is what this is.
Timekeeper ready? 3. You can count with me. 3, 2, 1.
That's the sound of all the people in the grandstand doing the moose call.
Just smite them all.
It's in the books. We'll report to you and celebrate obituaries. Thank you.
A Okay.
You say we'll celebrate obituaries?
I believe you did.
Like death, the moose that have died.
Well, they're going to kill some moose.
If you're shopping for a pre-owned vehicle, you'll find more than 130 choices at Downey's Toyota. For more details on our selection, let's hear from the folks who know our vehicle best.
The pre-owned vehicle.
By the way, you could have just stopped there, Bangor Daily News. I don't need the next ad because I'm not watching anything more.
Nope.
Glad to know. Downey's Toyota. So that's small town news.
All right.
Because that's what's going on in that small town. That's what there is to do there.
Mooses.
1,500 people showed up to make a moose call back to somebody who talks like this. By the Jesus, you can stand up and do it or you can sit down. I don't care. My wife found out there was going to be a beer tent here and she was like, I don't know if you should go. Yeah.
Moose.
I mean, is there anything more appropriate for the for the 600th episode than moose calls? I'm just saying. I don't know what else it would be. Let's see. Oh yeah, hold on. I do have something.
Damn it! That was freaking crazy. Come down later for moose soup. Oh, my God. Son of a bitch. Come down for moose soup after. Woo! Dirty bitch. Oh, dirty son of a.
It's a moose soup. I miss moose soup, lady.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Come down later for moose soup. Dirt.
Dirty son of a.
That was freaking crazy.
I mean, that pretty much says it all. Yeah. I mean, 1,500 people out there doing moose calls. I mean.
Woo! Dirty bitch. Oh, dirty son of a. Damn it. Come down for moose soup after. Son of a bitch. Oh my God! Come down later for moose soup. That was freaking crazy.
That reminds me, I saw part of Tommy Boy this weekend, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was wonderful.
Yeah. Holds up?
It does. You know, it never gets old.
Oh, dirty son of a.
Again, thank you to all of my co-hosts, and thank you to everybody who downloads and listens to this show. Whether you do it on the Google Play, whether you do it on the Apple Podcasts, right from the website, or if you do what I suggest and get the Playapod app, Playapod, because it doesn't matter what device you have, it's super easy to get and organize all your favorite podcasts, including this one.
Bam.
Give them a shout. When we tweet out that the show's up and I tag them, they will usually retweet us, so... Show them a little love. I use it. I love the damn thing. Because I hated the updates to the Apple Podcast app. So there you go.
Podcast.
It was just a pain in my ass.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that everybody does is go, well, it's free. Yeah, but it's still a pain in my ass.
Yeah.
You gave it to me for free. Does that mean I should be okay with it sucking?
Yeah, I'd rather pay $1.99 for something that's...
Yeah, let me pay $1.99 for something that doesn't suck. That's all I want. That's all I want is to pay for something that doesn't suck.
And that is a free market.
That's how it goes. All right. I mean, you know what? Play. There we go. All right. We'll wrap it up with a song that, you know, I originally hated this song so much. I hated this fucking song. It's grown on me. It really has.
Jason is mildly relieved.
Yeah.
No, this isn't a song that Jason hated.
No.
This is a song that I hated. It has grown on me. However, don't come at me with the Perry Farrell is a musical genius argument. Because I will lose any respect I have for you. Because if you like this, that's fine. No. Jane's Addiction, unbelievably overrated band. How many people are bopping around to Jane's Addiction now?
A bunch of 45-year-olds.
No, they're not. They're not. Everybody's listening to Green Day. Everybody's listening to Green Day with me. You know why? Because Green Day is fucking awesome. They were awesome then. They're still awesome. And they're still putting out music. Have you heard the latest Jane's Addiction album? No, you haven't. I mean, this might be it. I don't know.
No, this is not. I don't know.
But have you heard it?
No, I've not heard it.
Exactly.
Have you heard the new Porno for Pyros?
Nope. Nope. Is it 1998? Nope. Every now and then I'll get caught and I'll start thinking about the time frame. And like when I was in high school, like, oh my God, the Beatles, how fucking old were they? They broke up just before I was born. Okay. If I do the backward math on that, that would be something from 2001.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you depressed yet? Think about that. It's 2018. It's 2018. No. Do you know how long Kurt Cobain has been dead? He's been dead so long that high school kids have no idea he existed. Are you depressed yet?
No.
Okay. If you want to go back to stuff that you loved when you were in school, Jason, that would be like when people, when you were a kid, talking about the early 60s. For me, it would be people talking about the 50s. Talking about fucking doo-wop. Yeah. Fucking doo-wop.
Yeah, we'd be looking like if we're talking about, we're looking at 95.
Uh-huh.
So that's 23 years
ago. 23 years.
Yeah, so 23 years ago, Ben would have been
72.
72. Yeah. No.
Disco.
Yeah. Fuck oh, that.
Before disco.
Yeah, that's just when the saying. That's when the Bee Gees were still gay.
No, before the Bee Gees went disco. All right, that'll wrap it. We'll see you next time. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Have a great Father's Day, Jason. Happy Father's Day, Kareem. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, thank you.
And we'll see you next time. Classic episode on Monday. Bye-bye.